the platform. Step up and speak out.
So, as a minister, how does it feel listening to your song while you're in the studio?
It's fine. It's nothing very different. I'm listening from home.
Before I introduce you properly, I'm just going to introduce the rest of the world to you, but I'm just going to remind everybody of the frequencies you can listen to us on. Chivu 99.8, Kamativi Wanga 105.1, Victoria Falls 106.5, Nyanga 98.2, Bulawayo 106.7, Harare, my 106.4, and 106.7, of course, is my hometown, Bulawayo. My name is Larry Quiridayo on the platform, and the time being 28 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock on this, the 3rd of October, and I'm here until 8:30 with the minister himself, the deputy minister, rather, of the Ministry of Information, Publicity and Broadcasting Services. Before I introduce you, just to remind you that we are streaming this show on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/CFM Stereo. And if you'll get in touch with us on at CFM Stereo ZW. And of course, if on our WhatsApp line is 0731-168-045. Minister, Comrade Deputy Minister, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
I want to ask you a simple question that many people have asked in having put the question across social media today. This is a huge portfolio. And this is a portfolio that many people have a lot of questions around. And one of the biggest questions is, like, there have been changes to the portfolio that I'll ask you a little bit later. But this is a person that I'm playing the music before. Ankari Welu was playing music just a few years ago. Was he playing music? How is he a minister? And how does he qualify to be the Minister of Information, Publicity and Broadcasting Services?
Thank you. I think listeners need to really understand how ministers get to be ministers. And it is primarily that you need to be an elected member of parliament. And as I stand before you, I am the elected member of parliament for Goromon's West constituency, which is Dombosha. After election, the president also elected in an election, who in this case is His Excellency President Emmerson Dambuzo Mnangagwa, then considers those whom he would want to work with in government, occupying the positions of ministers, deputy ministers, and any other portfolio that he may create in line with the constitution. So in doing so, he looks at the regional balances. He also looks at personal capabilities of individuals. Whilst many people may know me as a musician before, because I was singing before, but they didn't know that also I have got a CV. I finished my primary and secondary education, of course, and went to university, where I studied a Bachelor of Arts degree in Geography and War Studies at the University of Zimbabwe, completing it in 2001. Then later I also studied a Master's degree in Business Administration, also at the University of Zimbabwe, and completed it in 2014. Currently I am a final year, a Doctor of Philosophy degree candidate at the University of Cape Town, focusing on financial markets. And my MBA, I graduated with a credit and with a thesis on treasury bills. And very soon I'm going to be graduating also for my doctorate with a thesis on stock markets. So this is a CV that no one can underestimate. That is a CV that I believe very few people can have.
I'm getting here, but we understand your academic aspects.
Yeah.
And you talk about thesis, and the thesis going through, then you become Dr. Mutodi.
But
the question I'm going to ask is, why people are asking why you for this specific ministry? Because there could have been a doctor, somebody who has qualifications for whatever aspect.
Who is not an MP, of course.
No, I mean, he could have been an MC, MP as well, doctor somebody or the other,
okay,
or professor somebody or the other. But what is it that you bring
there to this? There are quite a number of
landmarks. What do you bring to this ministry?
Yeah, there are quite a number of landmarks that you can trace. Well, before this disposition came into being, there's a lot that we posted on online, stories, activities, and so on. And that gives you an interest in this member of parliament that would not have been interested in media and broadcasting services, in information dissemination. So there's that gift that someone out there would want to really appreciate and also understand why I'm in my current position.
So you're saying that we need to research it, but we're here. The nation is listening.
Yeah.
Can you break it down to us? Like, I really... Like you're saying, oh, you should find it out. And right now, the nation is saying, why are you, and why should we trust you with that specific portfolio?
Of course. I will share with you a little. If you go to my Facebook account, you will see a lot of stories there, which I personally penned down, and which were very much received, and which were so much accurate. You see, I broke news, and it was so much interesting to me and to the rest of our people, that much of the things that I actually wrote were actually things that later on came to materialize. I can specify, during the succession situation, mm-hmm. succession, there was a big succession
debate. Because I want to go back a little before that, but carry on with that.
There was a huge succession debate in this country, where us in ZANU-PF party, we thought that there was need for really the then president, Robert Mugabe, to step aside and give a chance to someone else in his party. And I personally suggested that President Emmerson Mnangagwa, who was the deputy by then, was supposed to take over because of his experience, because of his loyalty, and because of his hard work. And I was fought. You remember, I went to jail for this, and after writing so many stories about the need for us to change leadership in government. But you see what would then happen in November 2017. We saw the then Vice President Emmerson Dambuzo Mnangagwa emerging as the favorite of the party, and ultimately as the favorite to be the leader of the country.
Okay.
And now he won the election. So these are some of the things that can tell you that this is an individual who has got some analytical skills, who has got some predictive power to actually predict what's going to happen.
So tell us about the... I know everybody needs to know about the mug.
The mug.
Is the mug still there?
I know, I don't know. The mug.
Okay, what happened on that day? Because no one has ever told us what happened on that day.
No, that was just one like any other event. I'm sure it was publicized in the media. It was a headline story.
When we say one other event, rather, what does that mean? Because I'm sitting at home in Gwavalanda, or I'm sitting in Chivi, or... my check here, I'm asking, what is that? What is one other event? Because one other event may mean one thing to you. One other event could be me sitting in a high-class event somewhere in Paris, and someone else's high-class event is me, one other event. What is the event?
Let me tell you. It was a time when we really were anticipating change in government, when we were anticipating a new situation altogether. You remember that there was paging of party officials during that time. There was also instability and insecurity in government ministers and everyone. So it happened that we had a function to celebrate the one that we believed would be the torchbearer for our...
So at that point, are you saying that... This is for historical records.
Mm-hmm.
I think at that point, you were saying that... The torchbearer, you had made a decision at that point.
Exactly.
You personally.
Yeah, I personally. And of course, it was a shared vision. It was a shared understanding.
Across everybody.
Yeah, across. So There was this gift that we gave to our torchbearer to say, of course, inscripted, I'm the boss. And it was actually prophetic in nature, because we were saying, due to the current situation, the country, the party is suffering from a leadership crisis. So many people coming from all quarters saying all sorts of things that destabilized the government, that destabilized the social fabric that we used to enjoy. So this was a man, Emmerson Dambuzo Mnangagwa, whom we realized that this is the right person to lead us into the future. Everyone has got his beginning and his end. And we saw a sunset on President Mugabe, and we saw a sunrise on President Emmerson Mnangagwa. And that was it. It was nothing magical. It was nothing predetermined. It was just something that was that you can actually consider to be something very ordinary, very noble. That was it. That's how it happened.
Okay. And talking about that particular time, right? You say you ended up going to being accused, going to jail, and being charged with all sorts of things. Did you feel still at that time that you were in the right space? Did you feel like at the, some point you might waver a bit? What's the story?
There was no wavering. You remember that it was a very difficult time. We were at the crossroads. So it was a matter of life and death. It was a matter of either you take it or you leave it. And when you leave it, you know the consequences. So it was a time when I said I have to take the bull by its horns. There were some things that needed to be said in public that were not, that was very sweet to authorities, and but that has to be, that had to be done. So there was no feeling whatsoever. You know, when such things happen, you take it upon yourself to say you have to do it. If you don't do it, there's nobody else to do it out there. So basically, this is now history. Let's focus on the future. It's something, it's a journey that we have walked. We cannot continue to be talking about how lions missed us on the way. But really, it was really a time when we needed to put our minds together and to have the courage to charge the way forward.
Of 731-168-045 says that somebody is asking about I want to deal with issues to do with you. First of all, before we talk about issues to do with the ministry. Somebody says there's allegations about people who feel they were defrauded through some dubious real estate deals. What is the story behind those?
That one I cannot dwell into that. It's those are corporate issues, and those are perceptions that can never be proven or can never be.
No, but I'm just saying you're a public official.
No, I'm here as a minister for information. That is
yes, but you're a public official.
That is not a portfolio of the minister of information.
No, but I'm saying you are a public official.
Of course, but
is this true?
But not in that portfolio.
No? Okay, I'm going to ask you a question.
I'm a public official in the Ministry of Information.
But are not public officials according to what was said recently? According to what was said recently, public officials will declare what they have and what they don't have. So their allegations, it's up to you to say, okay, this is what the truth is, this is what
is. I'm not at liberty to dwell on those issues. They were decided by the court. You see,
say,
I was brought to court, tried, and the court says you are innocent. And that was in the Robert Mugabe era. So why carrying them over to this?
People are asking, if you say, okay, you won the case.
Yeah.
Are you saying they won the case?
Yeah.
So just get people to understand.
I was acquitted. Living in the past who are trying to bring issues that are not necessary.
Honorable Mutali. You're a minister going in. There are people who are asking these questions. This is not you're not a minister for people who will necessarily like you. You're a minister for everyone.
Yeah.
So the people are asking. We need to understand. So you will say you have an understanding. You can be dismissive about the issues around it, but the question becomes: issues around that?
No, we don't want to draw on issues that were decided by the courts and the person was acquitted. We cannot be continuing to discuss those issues.
But the question isn't about whether
It's malicious if it's abusive.
But there was no abusive questions. There were the allegations there. And somebody's asking, how do we, what is the understanding around those issues?
Okay, can we move on? I'm not prepared to be talking about that one yet.
0731-168-045. Get in touch with us. ZFM Stereo, my station, your station. I'm going to ask you one last time. Mm-hmm. One last time. And I understand your question. The question that is being asked is not asking about guilt or not. That's not the question that's being asked at the moment. Because that's not being sat yet. That's been decided by the courts. Is the understanding, because people are just trying to say they want to feel safe with you as the minister. Remember what we said right at the beginning, your qualifications as the minister. So people might not have had an understanding of what happened at the courts. So just give them an understanding of what's happening,
okay,
and we can move forward.
What happened with the courts was that I was acquitted of those malicious allegations. Those were politically motivated and spruced up charges that did not pass the test of the law, and they were dismissed by the courts as malicious and defamatory.
Okay, so that's what I have with you on record. What I want to ask you next, therefore asking, is based on, and not necessarily based on that, there are many questions that people ask based on the ministry. One of the first things that are asked, somebody said that there's so many issues around the Ministry of Information, mm-hmm, based on its legacy, all right, based on whatever the past is and so forth. Things like IPAR, things like you know, whatever deal of understandings were made in there. Should we consign those and forget those the same way that we should forget what you're doing? The things that happened to you in the past.
To do with IPA?
No, I'm saying there's an example. Some people are saying, you know what, IPA, is IPA a priority for the administration? Let's take that as a separate statement. Is IPA an issue, a priority for the administration?
No, as far as I'm concerned, IPA is no longer going to be part of our law.
Is it a priority to deal with?
Yes. The president announced in his SONA, in his State of the Nation address, that we are going to be looking at reviewing those laws. And IPA is one of the laws that we are going to be looking at.
At what level?
It's a bill that is going to be tabled, the Zimbabwe Media Commission bill.
And what is at what level is the ministry going to do? Is this something that we expect to be dealt with in the next 3 months? Is something we expect to deal with in the next year?
We'll wait for the due process to be done. But the parliamentary process will be respected. We'll take that bill through parliament.
So, what is your target? I can understand you saying that there's a parliamentary process, but of course, some people argue that the parliamentary process is standing the way that I want to do. But what is your target? What are you planning to push as a ministry?
We target to introduce this within the first 100 days in office. Since you are aware that government is taking an initiative for 100 day cycles. To look at quick win projects and quick win achievables, and obviously the repealing of IPA is one of those things that we will take on board and ensure that there is a new law that can then replace IPA.
So IPA is a quick win. What else is a quick win?
There are several others, like the broadcasting services. The digitalization project is a priority for now. Where we are looking at increasing the licensing of players in the media sector, and also maybe this will come with new television stations, new private players, new innovation in the broadcasting publicity and the media industry. So it's a whole range of issues that we envisage to be looking at, so that we can have some quick win projects materializing within the first 100 days.
So when we look at broadcasting, looking at policy around broadcasting, how are we introducing new players into the market? What is the standard?
New pricing.
Players.
New players. It's very simple. Any new player who wants to get a license to broadcast can approach. The ministry has got a parastatal code, the Broadcasting Authority of Zimbabwe, under it. So that is the parastatal which is responsible for licensing new players. So once the digitalization process is complete, it means that our transmission will be able to carry a number of players, and then the licensing then come into picture. So we cannot say so and so come on board and so on. People will come on their own. The president say we are open for Zimbabwe for business.
Is this like Zimbabwe open to everyone? Business. Because some people asked in, say there were brands like, you know, back in the days there was Joy or whatever they were in the back in the days, and if they decided to re-engage, are we looking at new players and whatnot? What is the priority behind that? Because people don't understand what's happening behind, you know, licensing.
Licensing is a very simple thing. There's a parasitic looking at that. So there's no one who's going to be prioritized or something. It's a matter of you presenting your proposal, your application for a license. And you get licensed if you qualify, if you on the conditions that are set out. So there's nothing. These are things that are protected, that are actually protected by the law. Anyone who is interested in broadcasting, getting a broadcasting license, can approach the Broadcasting Authority of Zimbabwe, get the approval, and get on air. So it's something that is very simple.
I've got Kliso Chinova who on Twitter who said, when is the government issuing new broadcasting license for TV? We're tired of news that just covers news that is pro your political party.
Like which one?
That's the perception.
You know, a perception is a perception, but the reality remains the reality. There's no one who is going to be licensed because they belong to which or that other political party.
No, I mean, this is TV. We've got one TV station.
We cannot ask people to say which side are you on, what and so on. It's not necessary. It's not part of the requirements. You see? So anyone who approaches is bars, whether they support MDC or they support ZANU-PF and so on, there's nobody who is not disallowed. You go there with your proposal, you go there with your application, go and apply. If you think you support this opposition party, also go and apply, you'll get a license.
So, let's specifically look at TV.
Hmm.
Right, TV license right at the moment. Most of the people, the license that have been given out has been distribution licenses and so forth, and they're not terrestrial licenses. And one of the big issues has been digitalization.
Mm-hmm.
What is the program around digitalization at the moment?
The program on digitalization is whereby we are looking at changing the analog system from production to transmission of signal and content. To receiving maybe be it radios and TVs. At the moment, the radio transmission will continue to be analog, but what needs to be changed now is the TV signal for it to be digital.
When is it happening?
So this is a priority of government.
Okay, when are we trying to make this happen? Because prioritization doesn't give us dates.
That's why I said we are looking at a 100-day cycle.
What does 100-day cycle mean?
What it means is that it's an initiation of a project.
We've had initiations. Honorable Minister, we've had initiations of projects so many times. The people of Zimbabwe are asking, are we targeting this to happen?
We are not talking of dreams here. We are not talking of people.
True,
who are
but
dreaming.
You're selling us a dream right now. I'm asking, when is it going to happen?
Practical implementation of a project that has already, of course, been initiated. So this digitalization program is going to ensure that we've got more than 20 channels or TV channels.
Now, we've heard all of that, but I'm saying, when is it going to happen? We've been told about 12 channels, 20 channels.
That's why I'm saying we are looking at the 100-day cycle.
What is the 100-day cycle?
The 100-day cycle is when cabinet gets into office, we have got 100 days to deliver on quick win projects or top priority projects. And digitalization is one of those top priority projects that we are looking at.
Okay, let's ask. Okay, I'm going to ask this question in the most simplified process. When is digitalization going to happen? Because I've been hearing about this for so long, and we're so far behind the rest of the continent.
You want me to prophesy the date it was going to be 100% complete? Do you think it's possible to say on such a date it will be complete?
I feel like the minister, the deputy minister should be able to tell me that this is what target is.
I can only give you an estimate to say within 100 days we expect this project to be complete. For me to then say 100 days on that particular, on the 90th day or on the 45th day, no, you cannot expect
but surely, because
there are states of nature that you don't
know. No, we cannot speak about states of nature at this moment. It's scary for us to sit in the studio right now.
Yeah, but what I want you to know...
I need you to answer this question. It's a very specific question.
Which one?
To say... So many times we've been told that digitalization is going to happen on this date. Every other government across the world gives us a date when certain things happened. Are we going to have a pig in the sky or pie in the sky date on when digitalization is going to happen? When are we going to have more TV stations? What's going to happen? Are we going to wake up and just say 100-day cycles are going to happen for the next 5 years, 10 years, 20 years? When is it going to happen?
Yeah, let me tell you. I'm sure you have got old faith. Where you have heard this is going to happen, it doesn't happen, and so on. It's no longer business as usual. We are looking at 100-day cycles. So digitalization has been put on priority. We will ensure that it happens. People get to know, to see better
but
images
when?
On their TV sets. People get to get a better service from...
Is it in 100 days? Are you hoping it happens in a year? Are you hoping it happens in 2 years? Are you hoping it happens in 5 years? So that the people can prepare themselves.
It's within the 100 days.
So are you saying
this
that...
This cycle, then we will report.
So if it doesn't happen,
we will
then
report to the president. As ministers responsible for information...
So what happens if it doesn't happen?
You say, over the 100 days, we have covered so much ground. If we are left with 20% to completion, we'll report as such. But
honorable, I cannot let you get away with
No,
we need to be honest. I need you to listen.
We are honest on practical things.
Honorable, you work with a listening president, and I need you to listen. The question I asked you. Right. Every other honest government has asked a question, has said, we will provide a targets. You've not given me a target. You say to me, 100-day cycles. That for me, sitting at home in Gwavalanda, me sitting in Binga, that means nothing. Tell me something that gives me hope.
Let me tell you. The success of the digitalization program will depend on a number of factors.
So give me the factors. I'm going to give you 2 minutes to give me factors, and then I'm going to give you a follow-up question.
For the completion of the program is 100 days. But of course, we are looking at financial input, we are looking at technological input, we are looking at the human resource issues and so on. So this is a project that we aim to complete within the shortest possible time.
What is the shortest possible?
The shortest possible time is 100 days.
Give me 100 days. Then if 100 days doesn't happen, then what?
If it doesn't happen, then we know. We report on the progress that would have been covered.
So you're saying to me that you're giving you a fail-safe product.
I know it's something that...
No, you're giving me a fail-safe that says 100 days is not going to happen. You have said to the country that if 100 days doesn't happen, I've given you an excuse right now that it's not going to happen. And therefore, we just told you that we're going to fail.
I know it's something that everyone is waiting for, especially
everyone has been waiting for. This is what the country's been waiting for 10 years.
Yes, I know.
Digitalization has been talked about for 10 years. Why is it that you can't tell me right now when digitalization can happen?
I understand the anxiety. But
it's not anxiety, it's what the people demand.
Yes, I understand that demand. But of course, there are factors that are involved. Financial, some of them. There are things that need to be
safe financial. It's cheap to do digitalization, comrade.
So there are these financial issues, there are technological issues, availability of the resources and so on. So it's a whole lot of issues that we need to address for us to be successful in digitalization. But it's not wrong for us to say within 100 days we expect to have covered much ground or to have completed the program.
So what do you expect to have covered in 100 days?
That's
reasonably.
Maybe 80% of the work, 80% to 90% of the work must have been covered.
So can we say in 200 days?
Maybe. For the whole
Can
completion?
We say 300 days?
No. We have to work within shorter and shorter in the effective periods. And we are saying here we are starting from 100 days. If we don't complete, we go to the second
100 days. Can we say 400 days?
If you wish.
No, I'm asking. Like, can we give you a time that we say, as the people of
that
Zimbabwe...
That one is no longer coming from me. It's coming from
I'm
you.
Asking, as worst-case scenario, as the people of Zimbabwe, can we say the worst-case scenario is 400 days?
All right. The best we are expecting is 100 days. And the worst we could be expecting is a year to complete.
So we're talking 300... Yeah. The worst case is 365 days from now.
The worst, yeah. But for the best we can do now, for now, we can promise is 100 days.
That's what I just wanted to say.
So like, this is why we are saying we've got 100 days.
So the worst case scenario is a 365 days from now, 3 October next year.
Yeah.
We should have to
digitalize throughout the country.
0731-168-045. Do get in touch with us on ZFM Stereo, my station, your station, the hottest area radio in town. And I'm here with the Honorable Minister. Thank you very much for coming. I'm going to take a quick break. And when we come back, there are a lot more issues other than digitalization that you asked around. And do get in touch with us on 0731-168-045. It's ZFM Stereo, my station, your station, the hottest radio in town.
The platform. Step up and speak up.
You tune into ZFM Stereo, my station, your station, the hottest radio in town. And I'm in the studio with the Honorable Deputy Minister of Information, Publicity and Broadcasting Services, Eneji Mtoti. Thank you very much for coming in. I want to ask other issues, because there's so many other issues. And one of the issues that came up multiple times is to do with filmmakers. Right. Somebody asked me, and Zaza asked this question, is the ministry going to assist filmmakers by scrapping the prohibitive taxes on bringing in camera and broadcasting equipment?
Yeah, that can be looked into by members of parliament to say if it's something. Of course, we understand us in the media industry that we need new productions. And for that to be enhanced, we need to remove duty or to lessen duty paid on film production equipment. So it's a topical issue, and we'll be looking at it as with the Minister of Information to see how we can navigate through that, whether through introduction of legislation or through a presidential proclamation, if need be. So it's something that we'll consider during our term.
In line with that, because it's around filmmakers, the follow-up question came up, says in the 80s and 90s, Zimbabwe used to be the preferred destination for international filmmakers, for example, to shoot movies. Now we've got South Africa, Kenya, Rwanda, and sometimes Botswana, for example, having film laws that make it attractive and lucrative for international filmmakers to film in those locations. Zimbabwe comes across as prohibitive. Is this one of the things that your ministry will look at? And what steps are being done to deal with
that? Like I've said, of course, that we're looking at opening up the media space and ensuring that filming and production of content is made easier. So, and also, this is in line with
the ease of making... In what ways? Because this feels like it's just in general ways. It's like, oh, okay, are you going to come home? I'm going to look at ways of coming... my wife, are you going to make sure that you come home earlier? I'm going to look at ways of coming home earlier. What is it that you're that the government is going to do?
You know, when we open up the country for business, it means that filmmakers are also players in the business, isn't it? So they feel free to come in and operate in Zimbabwe. Some of these things is the whole long value chain, beginning from the accreditation of journalists, accreditation of foreign experts in the film industry. It has been difficult in the past to accredit even a journalist or to give license
so
to an external.
What are we going to do to make it easier?
This is why I'm saying it's all to do with the law. It's all to do
okay,
with the
loose. What are the ideas that are there?
You were talking of AIPA, and those are some of the things that need to be repealed.
Okay, so what are examples of things that the ministry will do to assist with this situation. So just give me
accreditation. Accreditation of journalists.
Like what? How? What's going to make it easier? What is it that's going to make it easier?
It's very simple, my brother. It's very simple. When we loosen the law, when we make sure that journalists coming from England, US, South Africa, and so on,
how is the law going to be easened?
That is going to be managed by the Zimbabwe Media Commission. So the commissioning, we are looking at creating a code of conduct, because the fears have been that if you accredit a journalist, then they start filming and posting stories that are most of them lies and meant to tarnish the image of the country and the government. So now we are coming up with a Zimbabwe Media Commission bill that introduces a code of conduct for journalists. So now it's no longer going to
cause... what are the suggestions that the ministry has? The question that the people of Zimbabwe are asking right now is that it's not to tell me that there will be suggestions. We need to know what you will have in those suggestions. What will happen?
What will happen is that we will continue to engage journalists. We will continue to engage.
No, we can't. No.
Interested in
No. I need you to answer the question as I have asked it. Don't ask me what you will ask other people to do.
No, your question is so dubious that you.
How is it dubious?
You're not coming out clearly what you are.
Is that what is the ministry saying it will do to deal with the issues that are at hand? To say, this is what we do. If we're going to reduce the cost at which journalists are going to get access, I'm going to reduce the cost of getting a webcasting. Like, what are we going to do?
We've already said that. We've already said that.
But you haven't said it to the nation.
In terms of the filming industry, we've said that we will look at reducing duty on filming equipment.
So you will look at it, but you have no idea what you will do.
That's what I'm saying to you.
But you will look at it, which means you can look at something and decide not to do anything.
There's no way we can look at it and don't do it.
But you haven't said you will do anything.
No. I'm an individual here. I'm a minister. I'm a deputy minister, of course. I've got a whole ministry. There's a permanent secretary out there. There's a full minister whom I report to as well.
No, I'm asking you
so
very
I cannot
specific
give you a
question.
Complete answer. I'm simply giving you an opinion of government. What we intend to do is to reduce duty on filming equipment.
Okay,
also make it easy
for
journalists.
So what is the policy of government? Set opinion aside, because that's your opinion.
The policy of government is that we want to be in line with the Constitution. We want to be in line with Section 61 and Section 62 of the Constitution that talks about media freedom, freedom of expression, freedom of research, and so on.
Let's just say for the record, I ask you to say somebody, let me read this. Someone here says, why is it that we keep on watching old movies in ZTV and it's boring? Somebody says, will community radio stations get licensed? Somebody, I'm going to read a couple of questions here. What is the government issuing new broadcasting licenses for TV? We are tired of news. Somebody saying that, ask him when we're going to appoint broadcasting authority as Zimbabwe board and when they're going to be issuing non-partisan licenses. Somebody says, ask him how the... that one we've already dealt with, by the way. There are a couple of questions. Competitors around the TV broadcasting. Are you saying the only thing you can give us right now is opinions and not policy? I've just read a couple of issues there.
The role of government is to create policy. That when we create the policy and the parliamentarians create the law, the law enforcement agents then enforce that law. So it's a combination of players that we are dealing
okay,
with.
Okay, what do you want to happen
what
as
we want
your ministry?
As a ministry is
not
what
opinion.
We want, if it's in reporting, we want professional reporting.
No, we're not talking about voting. Leave us out of this because this is your ministry. This is your ministry. This is what you are supposed to do. So I'm asking as the ministry. No, I need you to understand this question. You as the Ministry of Information, Publicity and Broadcasting Services, to create the environment for all the things that you're saying you want to get done. What would you like? What is your plan? Because you say there's a lot of things that you want to deal with and so forth. What are the concrete steps that you plan to do to make in terms, in as far as getting those things done?
Yeah, but you are not specific. There are so many things that need to be done.
Okay, let me give you an example.
Aligning the laws. So be specific.
No. Well, okay. I've given you very specific issues. I even ended up giving you other issues and said I can only give you my opinion. Mm. I can't give you anything else because there's so many other players.
Yeah. So are you talking in terms of the law? Are you talking in terms of equipment?
No, according to what the government wants. Let's give an example. The government, the president of the country woke up and said, this is my mandate. Right. This is what I want to do, and I'm going to find people to do it. He appointed you to do those things. Right.
Which things are you talking
about? No, I'm just saying, in general, among all the things that you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Say you woke up and says, I've got the five things I want to do to get the policy of this issue done. There are so many things that I want to get done. And we said, yes, President, we're listening. And we invited you into the station today to say, can you tell us, in line with those policies, what policies you have said you're going to get done? Not telling us that the 100...
Policies.
The policies. That's what I'm asking you. Like, I've asked, what's the policy behind the... We spent 20 minutes trying to get you to simply say, at maximum, a year it's going to take to get stations to get licensed, TV stations to get licensed, the digitalizations get done. It was pulling out hen's teeth. I'm saying, for the person sitting at home, can you answer that question? That specific question.
Let me tell you, the ministry is in charge of five or so parastatals.
Okay, so
those parastatals is that we oversee. The policy that we government will implement with those parastatals, and one of the flagships or the key parastatal is ZBC. I know that people are.
So, what's the idea behind that?
Are worried about the content of ZBC and so on. And
so, what's the idea? Okay, let's deal with that. Let's deal with that specifically. Issues, what's the story behind that?
Issues for ZBC and so on. So, we will be looking at.
Sir, we've not looked at it.
Transforming the programming. We will be looking at ways of changing what people have been seeing on the television sets and improving it. We have got already other stations to compare with. We've got ENCA in South Africa. We've got SABC.
Okay. I've heard you, but the question is, the people of Zimbabwe are not listening for generalized terms. We need concrete steps.
Like
what is supposed to happen? What's going to happen? Are we saying... What are you saying?
If I say we're going to transform the content, is that not what you want to hear?
But what does that mean?
You want me to define it for you?
Absolutely. What does transform the content mean?
What we mean there is that what people are seeing on the screens needs to be transformed, needs to be made better, needs to match with international standards. This is what people are crying for. We don't want to see.
Is it going to be? What does that mean for local content producers?
What that means is that we are not going to be looking at content from outside the country all the time.
You haven't said that until I pulled it out of your teeth.
So we are going to be looking at local content. We want more content producers to come forward and to give us new content. Content that we can all be proud of, to listen, to watch, and so on. So there's a whole lot of things that needs to be done in terms of also looking at the human resource complement that we need for these parastatals, the boards, some of these...
Is there a time that the ZPC board is going to be still looked at?
There's a board, actually, at the moment.
Are you happy with that?
It has got a term.
Are you happy with that?
I'm not the minister.
You're within the system. I'm saying you're representing the ministry. Are you saying you came here in your personal capacity?
I cannot. Those are issues that we will then be discussing behind closed doors. I cannot be discussing them on air. Those are things
But the question is this: there's so many things that you say that you probably discuss behind closed doors, 100-day issues, and so forth.
So,
and you're freely, you freely stated those. I'm asking is to say, one of the big issues that most people are asking, I mean, the number of times that it came up, that aspect of the board, the aspect of the content, the aspect of how people consume content, and all those other issues, they came up so many times. Are you saying that this is something that would wait for you and the... And the ministry to discuss on?
Of course, the issue of the board is something that we we will look at
and say you can't say whether you're happy or not with it.
I cannot say at the moment I'm happy or not, but what I can say is that we need change. And,
so you change, need change. That means okay, I've got an answer. Let's go with it. Let's move on. The next question I ask is, now looking at Ishu Yakuti, I'm going to ask you a very simple one for you to answer. There was almost like a conversations that were happening earlier around people who live stream on YouTube, on Facebook, and so forth. Mm-hmm. Is there a plan to regulate that and get people to say, okay, if you're going to stream on those platforms, you have to pay something?
Online productions. Yes, we welcome them. It's now an international feature that people are screening online and broadcasting and so on. What the ministry may look at is to have a law to regulate online screening. Well, some of these things people may not even be registered. Of course, well, you have already mentioned that they are not registered, they are not licensed. So look at the Broadcasting Authority of Zimbabwe to look at ways that we can have an inclusive broadcasting industry, whereby those who are outside the regulatory system can be brought in, like the informal players. They can actually be formalized through, as we create the laws that can.
So, at what level are people going to be forced to formalize? So, if I'm doing Facebook on my phone, because Facebook Live is available free for anyone, at what level do I get told that, no, now you have to pay and be a licensee?
We will look at other people's, other countries' laws. There's a law already in Uganda regulating social media. I'm sure those people are producing their videos or whatever they are producing and sending it through WhatsApp. So it could be also an avenue where we could be looking at telecommunications players like Econet and so on, and ensuring that such communication, such broadcasting can be legal. But it's not something that we can say overnight that we are doing this.
But so
we need to look at also not
okay, Uganda
the freedom
was
of expression.
A bad example. I'm going to ask you a question. Because Uganda passed a tax, right? A law tax to those who use social media like Facebook and so forth, and it's a tax. It's to say, okay, look, once you send a whole bunch of messages and so forth and whatnot, you're going to have to pay a certain level of tax.
Yeah.
Are we saying we're going to get to the level where you're going to tax WhatsApp groups?
Let me tell you, we are a government that was elected for 5 years. And we were elected by the same people who are on WhatsApp.
It's a very specific question. I'm not asking you to prevaricate.
And so on. So we will not do things that can frustrate our people.
So the answer is no.
We will not do anything that's going to make life harder for the people of Zimbabwe. We have to consult widely.
So the answer is maybe.
It's not. There's no definite answer as to what we.
So the answer is maybe. You say maybe there might be a tax on WhatsApp.
Maybe there will be. Maybe there won't be. But it will depend.
Do you understand how scary what you're saying is?
It will depend on the impact that is envisaged on the people of Zimbabwe. Everyone wants to communicate.
So I'm going to ask you. I'm going
to
ask you a question. Are you saying that there may be a tax on WhatsApp?
That one I cannot say outright,
but
simply telling you that in Uganda, they've come up with...
You reference Uganda, but I'm saying, can you say there may be a tax on WhatsApp?
They've come up with that tax to ensure that they reduce the number of people who go on air, on unregistered platforms, to air maybe falsehood. Sometimes they are airing...
I ask you a very specific question. I need you to answer it. I'm not asking you any other question. I'm not asking you to reference another question. I'm talking about Zimbabwe. I'm not asking about Uganda. And I've got questions that I want to ask you from listeners here. Mm-hmm. Are you saying that maybe at some point during this administration that there will be a tax on WhatsApp?
You know, at the moment we have no such proposal.
There's no such proposal, cannot say they can never. There might not be.
Why? You know why I cannot give a definite answer? It's
why?
Something that has to go through Parliament. Then I'm just one member of parliament.
The question I'm going to ask here, some from somebody says, it says, what are the requirements of one to get a broadcast license? From that's the question. And someone says, we know that people were fired and from the national broadcaster and didn't get paid. You, Honorable Mutodi is talking about human resource boasting. How does it work and why? Why boosting? I think you're trying to say boosting. How does it work, and why are people fired when there's a need for people to be employed?
You know, from time to time, for organizations to survive, they need new expertise, they need new innovation, they need new knowledge. So it's not new to it's not ZBC is not an exception. If there is going to be need to hire new people to ensure that we've got better content, we've got better programming, we've got a better product for our people to see. You know, people are paying hard-earned money to DSTV and to other TV channel providers. So we are saying that we are going to do everything possible. If it means also improving on our human resource capital to ensure that we've got a better product, that is going to be done. For those who were fired, and I'm sure those who were fired for incompetence or for corruption or something, they it's not a thing of the past. We are now looking forward to say who can make us better in terms of our programming, in terms of the content which we have been talking about, and anything that people can expect to make their viewing better, to make them have a better experience of broadcasting.
Question is, this guy wants us, wants us to start acting over what other countries are doing. What is his basis for this position?
No, I was simply giving you an example. That to say, in other countries, they've come up with a tax or a levy to reduce the number of social media broadcasters who may not be licensed. So this is a way of trying to reduce informalization of the broadcasting services. But I'm not saying that's what we're going to do. It can persuade any country to also follow suit. It may not persuade. So I was looking at the current situation and the future situation of our country. That's why I was saying we were elected for 5 years. We need not to do things that can gonna frustrate our people, or that may force our people to think that it's not a government that is for the people. So anything that we are going to deliberate on, it's going to be for the betterment of the experiences of the people of Zimbabwe. It's going to be for the best interest of the citizens of Zimbabwe.
Okay. There's a question that I asked in passing earlier, and that was asked earlier by Munya. Thank you very much for getting in touch with us. It says, will community radio stations get licensed?
There are already some that are licensed, and we also expect more to be licensed. The policy is that communities must be able to freely communicate things that are peculiar or that are actually of interest to them. So if it comes in national broadcasting, it may not be of interest to people who are in Chimanimani, in Chipinge, or in Mazembuzi or something. So it has to be a community radio that addresses the specifics of that kind of community. And we encourage this as a government. We want to promote as many community radios as possible. But also, this depends on the number of investors who are prepared to come up and show up and be able to apply for the licenses to go on air.
Another question here has to do with when are they going to appoint a Broadcasting Authority of Zimbabwe board?
That is a priority. It's an issue that the minister is currently looking at. I'm sure the minister is currently looking at CVs for individuals who can occupy this the board, and that is coming. People can expect the board anytime
within
the next 30 or 60 days. I'm sure this board would be in place.
Constituted.
Yeah.
I don't expect you to, but do you happen to have the requirements of that, just in case I'm sitting at home and thinking, hey, I could do something on that board?
For one to be a board member, you know, for you to have, you must have a passion for broadcasting. You must have some experience. You must have passed, of course, your Form 4. You must have a diploma or something. Obviously, the best candidate who take the who carry the day. So I cannot specifically say which one or which kind of qualification. You know, for a board to be constituted, we don't need people who are technocrats in those areas. The chief executive must have the know-how, but the board members must actually have possess corporate governance qualifications. Basically, that makes them qualify.
I'm going to ask you a very important question before we go. And this is on the basis. I'm hoping to have you like in a month from now, where I think maybe you'll be able to answer more, less on our opinion. Maybe you've had meetings and you have a lot more information to give us. But what is the plan right now for the Ministry of Information, Publicity and Broadcasting Services? What is the plan for the next 5 years?
Yeah, for the next 5 years, we are part of what the government is saying, a transitional stabilization program. And this is a vision where we want to make Zimbabwe an upper middle-class economy by 2030. So you find that the 5 years you're talking about is part of the long period between now. We are in 2018. So up to 2030, we've got 12 years. So we're going to be breaking our 12 years into 5 year elected periods, whereby we, in the transitional stabilization program, we want to promote government policies that are aimed at recovering the economy. We have had a battered economy for quite a long time. There's a rampant unemployment. There's a huge informal sector. So those are some of the things that we want to help the country to rebrand the country, to ensure that we've created a new image for the country. So the Ministry of Information, Publicity and Broadcasting Services primarily aimed at rebranding the country, creating a new image. And this goes along with what other ministries are doing as well. We are an interministerial institution. So we look at what is being done in mining, what is being done in finance, what is happening in the health sector. All those things, we can then bring our people together through interaction, through communication, through broadcasting, information dissemination, so that we are a well-informed economy, we are a well-informed population. We prioritize the things that need to be prioritized. If it's the economy for now, that is what we need to all put our efforts on and ensure that we deal with economic issues that are affecting our country. We deal with, should there be health issues, we make sure that they are broadcast, people are aware of what is happening. If it's government policy on mining, on agriculture, on whatever issue that the government can come up with, we are going to be able to disseminate that information correctly. And you'll find that in this era, President has introduced a situation where cabinet decisions are now being communicated every Tuesday after the cabinet session. So this brings our people closer to what is happening in government. They get to know what was discussed on that particular day in cabinet, if they've got any queries, and so we are maintaining an open door policy. One of the things that we are also doing is to create websites for all ministries, to create email addresses for ministers and so on, so that we can enhance our e-governance structures. So it's something that is we are building up, and at the end of the day, every Zimbabwean must be proud to be Zimbabwean. We no longer want to have people migrating from this country to other countries, to the diaspora, to look for better standards of living and so on. Zimbabwe is going to be great again. Zimbabwe is rebranding. Zimbabwe is going to be the economic hub of Africa.
That is the voice of the Deputy Minister of Information, Publicity and Broadcasting Services, Energy Todi. Thank you very much for coming in. And thank you very much for communicating with the rest of the nation.
Thank you.
It's ZFM Stereo, my station, your station, the hottest radio in town. Coming up is The Wise Zone with Mona Lisa Dube. But I'm back with you on Monday on ZFM Stereo between 7:30 and 8:30 p.m. And as I always say, for where I come from, Asilwisa Sevens, ZFM Stereo, take care of yourself. My name is Larry Quitadai.